let the tower roll in here a little bit. There ain't nothing stopping us now. 38 years now. There's nothing going to stop me. 38 years of radio. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. On the line, of course, from the Bronx is a Bronx Bomber, boxing's true PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, Mr. Palmer, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How's it going with yourself?
That's okay. You sound a little subdued today. Is it is like sunny and wonderful in New York or what?
Are you trolling us New Yorkers and East Coast people that have to deal with this crappy weather on Memorial Day weekend?
Well, you know, listen, we really don't have crappy weather out here in California. That's sort of like the flip side. But then again, it costs a lot of money to live here.
Yeah, well, it's not cheap over here either. But yes, at least you guys have good weather about 90% of the year. So
okay, Devin Haney's people.
It is what it is. Hopefully. Clears up.
Okay, Devin Haney's people were all over San Francisco telling Hector's wife that Devin's in a life and death fight this week and he's going to defend his title and they're going to Las Vegas or driving down to Vegas, this and that. They didn't tell her the guy was 35 years old and been stopped in five of his six losses.
You know, but he's still dangerous. Jorge Linares is not it's definitely his stiffest competition up to this point.
And what does that say about him?
People expect Devin Haney to win. It says that he's been matched very carefully. You know, he had a similar opponent in front of him not too long ago in Gamboa and wasn't able to stop him. As a matter of fact, it was one of his worst performances. Very lackluster. He was very content to just outbox and not do much and get an easy decision. One that certainly isn't going to make you say, hey, Devin Haney should be, you know, considered to be one of the best lightweights in the world, or he could stake his claim as the best. No, you know, he needs a significant eye-grabbing attention win tonight against a very good fighter. And that doesn't necessarily mean a knockout. You know, if he could outclass Linares and never be in danger for 12 rounds, I would take that because Linares is a very, very good fighter, very crafty offensive fighter. My thing is this, how long will Linares' face hold up? You know, he swells easy. He cuts a lot. He's been prone to get dropped, you know. But up until Teofimo Lopez, he gave Vasily Lomachenko his toughest fight. And in fact, he dropped Lomachenko with a legit right hand.
Yep.
So it's going to be an interesting fight.
No doubt about that. Of course, that's tonight on The Zone. We'll talk about that in depth. Now, Haney, of course, coming to us from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California, now living in Los Angeles, 25 and zip. As I said, Linares has lost six times, five stops. Some of those have been cuts and things like that. But at the end of the day, he's got Mayweather in his ear. It appears that Floyd Mayweather Jr. is in his ear. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's sort of like I have mixed emotions about that. But the bottom line is, you know, when Mayweather fought, some people are going to get upset when I say this, but when Mayweather fought, when the bell rang, the excitement stopped. Okay, is that going to be the case with Devin? Is that going to be the case with Devin Haney? I mean, he promised he was going to deliver against Gamboa. I'm going to knock him down more times than Terrence Crawford did. He never even dropped him.
I'll tell you what, though. When Mayweather was Pretty Boy Mayweather, before he became Money Mayweather, he was a pretty exciting fighter. You know, he had some nice moments at lightweight, and he was a guy that really sat in the pocket, used tremendous natural ability that he had. Devin Haney still has to pay his dues, you know. And I understand defensive fighters tend to last longer, and at the end of the day, it's prize fighting. It's about money, you know, and making the most out of your career. But there's too many guys. It's just becoming cliche and played out, you know. Create your own legacy. You know, you've heard Shakur Stevenson, you know, he's the same way. Oh, I'm the next Mayweather. Devin Haney, I'm the next Mayweather. Of course, Tank Davis. It's like, stand on your own two feet. You know, it's like, you know, make your own legacy. Stop trying to be a copycat because, no, you will not be the next Floyd Mayweather because Mayweather's a generational type of talent.
Thank
and I don't
God.
See that in those three guys.
Thank God. I'm not, listen, how come, all right, if he's a once-in-a-generation fighter, how come then I'm not compelled, or I don't want. I watched Duran's old fights. I watched Leonard's old fights. I watched Ali's old fights. I watched Hagler's old fights. I even watched some of Hopkins' fights. I never could. Nothing ever compels me to watch an old Floyd Mayweather fight. Why?
Because we understand the talent that Mayweather had, and you wish that he would have done more, not just in his career, but for the sport. I mean, there's fights that. Fighters, I'm sorry, that he avoided, plain and simple. And he's never gonna be able to live that down. I mean, before he was making monster paydays, he turned down an Antonio Margarito fight. He never fought Miguel Cotto when he was the best version of Miguel Cotto. He never fought the best version of Shane Mosley. He could have fought Paul Williams. I mean, Costa Zou. There's a long list of guys that he avoided, you know. So he will always have that, you know, and you know, I say generational talent because, you know, he really had a spotless career. I mean, up until maybe, obviously, the first fight against Jose Luis Castillo, in which a lot of people think he lost, including myself. And there's that footage of him getting smacked up by Paul Spadafore in sparring. You know, that's another guy that he avoided. So it's, you know, he has left room for criticism, you know, despite the flawless record and him being arrogant and the whole TBE, which is just nonsense.
One guy that has not gotten his props has been Bojack. Bojack seems to be like this a whisker short in some fights. Now we find out that Gene Pascal tested positive, not for one steroid, three of them.
Yeah, I've met Jean Pascal a few years back, and I've been inside a lot of locker rooms, and I've seen athletes, and Jean Pascal had the type of physique that you're like, damn, you know, and he didn't even have a fight coming up, and the guy was just, he looked like a comic book hero. Now we know, you know, there's a reason why. Father Time, you know, is undefeated, as we know, and a lot of fighters tend to take the shortcuts when they're aging. We don't know how long Gene Pascal was using PEDs. That's something that he's going to have to live with the rest of his career. And Badu Jack lost a big payday. You know, that's the guys that I feel bad for. The guys that train hard and you know, they're set to get a big payday and redemption. And then it falls through. I wonder if they're gonna, if the sanctioning bodies that Gene Pascal represents, are they gonna make him vacate those titles while he faces a suspension?
Well, let's be honest. If he tested positive with the second test, they need to suspend him. Now, Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence going to go down August 21st. Why is it that people, somebody, even myself, seem to be inclined to give Manny Pacquiao a shot here against a much younger and bigger guy?
Because he's Manny Pacquiao. That's why. I think it's, you know, I think that's part of the reason. I think, you know, Manny Pacquiao, to, you know, I guess to echo the same thing I said earlier, he's a once in a generation type of fighter. He's a special fighter. And he really hasn't shown much slippage. You know, he's not active as he once was, but you know, when he's been out there, he's won pretty easy. You know, Adrian Broner, Keith Thurman. And there's also the lingering doubt of Errol Spence. Is he fully back? You know, I mean, he had that monster car accident, which could have been tragic. You know, happy that he was able to recover and then he stepped into the ring against Danny Garcia.
Sock. Doesn't Errol Spence always look like he's got a buzz going on? I'm telling you, I think that guy smokes more weed than Cuddy. Cuddy shaking his head. No.
He does tend to. I'm probably gonna say something politically incorrect, but his eyes do seem more slanted than Manny Pacquiao's at times. Yes, he does look.
That was a good one there. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Now, what's happening, real quick, before we go to the break? What's happening with Japan? Are they going to do the Olympics or not? It looks like maybe no.
There's a big movement, you know, to stop the Olympic Games. You know, I don't know what to say. You know, it's when you get the Olympics, obviously you're getting people from all over the globe. I hope it happens, you know, and limit the capacity. I mean, you got to feel for these athletes. I mean, these Olympic athletes live for this their entire life, and then it already was postponed, and then if it gets postponed or canceled, you got to feel for them. That's who I feel for, the athletes, you know, not the networks or the sponsors.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing. On occasion, we talk about MMA as well. Of course, the UFC rock and rolling, $690 million in total revenues last year. And guess how much went to the fighters?
Wow.
$6. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Checking it out, watching the man with the fat feet. Got the hippest flares and the bad boogaloo. The big old bag of tricks down to the nightclub. You can get what you want if you know how to ride to the nightclub. Ooh, we be slick, slick, slick. Now, usually when I play taps, that means somebody has passed away. But no, I'm going to use this as a question. For my guests, of course, I'm talking about boxing's PhD, my right hand, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Now tonight, will they be playing taps for Nonito Donaire, or will they be playing Eye of the Tiger?
Maybe it's going to be Last Dance. You know, I think Nonito Donaire has a really good chance of pulling off a slight upset. I mean, he's 38, but his opponent's not a spring chicken. He's 34. You know, and he's very short. He's about 5'3", you know, and he's a southpaw. He's got good power. But Nonito Donaire has been in there with the best of the best, you know, and he hasn't fought in about 16 months since he fought Inunue. Actually, both fighters, Uwali fought in the undercard of that fight against Inunue's brother. It's a very interesting fight. It's a classic fight. It's the once great champion against the good but not really proven young champion who's really not so young himself.
Oh, okay.
Like I say, he's 34.
But so, let's look at it from this point of view. Mr. Donaire, his peak was 5,075 days ago.
Yeah, since he fought Rigondeaux, I mean, which was probably one of his worst moments. You know, he was, you know, beaten thoroughly, thrashed by Rigondeaux.
Bigger man,
but the guy's still around. Yeah, you know, but he fought Nicholas Walters, who was at the time a very scary puncher, and had his moments in that fight. You know, Carl Frampton. But he's fighting more at his natural weight, but it's a lot of miles on those tires. You know, this 47th fight.
Yeah. What happened to Nicholas Walters?
I mean,
what happened to Nicholas Walters? He was supposed to be a monster. What happened to that guy?
Lomachenko took his heart.
Guess so.
All I can say. I mean, and he never came back. I would have to really do a dive on him, but I guess he made enough money that he's living comfortably in Jamaica, you know, the axe man. Okay. You know, he had a good gimmick. He would come into the ring with an axe. A short-lived.
Okay. Andre Ward is obviously training. I don't know whether he's training for a comeback or not, but he's lost a lot of weight. You can see it. He's no longer a fat black guy on TV. He's like a cut-up athlete, okay? I mean, you can just see it in his chin. He hasn't got a double chin anymore, nothing. So he's obviously training. The target is Canelo. Now, he and Canelo, if they were to rumble, of course, if I was Canelo, I'd have him come down to 168 pounds and not have him. I wouldn't give Andre Ward one single tune-up fight because I think that would work against me. What do you think about that?
I agree. And I don't think Andre Ward would want a tune-up fight either. I mean, a lot of bad things can happen in a tune-up fight. You know, I mean, no fight is quote-unquote easy. You know, you can catch a headbutt, an elbow, and, you know, things could really get derailed fast. If Andre Ward wants to make a comeback, you know, more power to him. I mean, he left at the top of his game. He kind of redeemed himself in a fight against Kovalev. because in the first fight, a lot of people think he got a gift. You know, I'm surprised because I thought Andre was one of those guys that would stay retired. You know, he would kind of fight the temptation and keep his ego in check. But Canelo's a big draw.
Sock, let me put it to you like this. Maybe he's made, I'm not kidding you, maybe Andre has made $10 million total in his entire career. I was looking at it. Maybe he's made $10 million. Maybe he's made a little bit more. But the bottom line is he can make more with one night with Canelo than he could in maybe two of his prior careers.
I 1,000% agree. You know, it's a shame. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, without a doubt, you know, for a good period of time was the best in the world. You know, the guy that ran through the Super Six, which was a great tournament, and he really looked flawless.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you, mm-hmm. Sock. Hector keeps saying over and over again that Kessler was a bum. Was Michael Kessler a bum?
Miguel Kessler, a bum. No, that's harsh.
I know that's harsh. But here's what's up. Kessler came in here and he was here for a week before the fight here in Oakland. And he talks. I think I was a ring announcer. And he talks so much smack. You would not believe it, man. I mean, he was like, wow, we couldn't believe. So he overdid it. And of course, Andre shut him down for the most part. And then he quit before the fight was over with because he didn't want to lose the points in that Super Six tournament. You remember the scandal at the end there when he decided he would resign instead of take a knockout loss?
Yes, I do recall that. And, I mean, you know, he had a good career. I mean, he comes from Denmark, not necessarily the, you know, the fight capital of the world. And he kind of, you know, he was a big draw. He fought some big names, Carl Froch and Lucian Bute, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think it was okay. I wouldn't call him a bum. Okay. You know, I thought that maybe a little overrated, okay. You know, but there's a lot of fighters that are overrated.
Oscar Lopez says he wants Tank, Gervonta Davis and Shakur Stevenson. Now, Tank's got a date in June on a pay-per-view fight, of course, against a guy by the name of I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, at the end of the day,
Barrios.
Yeah, he's moving up to 140 pounds, Mr. Barrios. And is that a size disadvantage for him, or is that just the fact that he needs a fight in between and this guy looks like an easy mark?
I think it could be a little bit of both. You know, Barrios is a tough fighter. You know, he's just not, you know, to use the word, I don't think he's a bum. You know, he's a natural 140. He's Mexican. He's going to come to bring it. Tank is a great fighter, a lot of talent, explosive power, quick hands, but he's going to have his hands full. I don't think Mr. Barrios is just going to give up his, trinket to Tank Davis. And I have to call it trinket because, as we know, there's only one world champion at 140 pounds, and that's Josh Taylor.
Yeah, I'll have Josh Taylor on in the next segment. Speaking of Josh Taylor, let's talk about that to an extent. I mean, he went out there, he did his thing, and it was sort of a little scary there because you and I were counting the points up at the end, and we realized that he didn't win by that many points. I mean, he won the fight, but he didn't win by that many points. He sort of skated a little bit.
Yeah, he almost, I was going to say he almost blew it, but yeah, I mean, look, if you score, you're supposed to score a fight each round individually, you know, and at the end of the night, they kind of both won the same amount of rounds, but just the rounds that Taylor won were obviously with the knockdowns and more impressive, and he was never really in any danger throughout the fight, you know, he was the catalyst throughout, and Josh Taylor's a bad dude. You know, I wonder how long he's going to stay at 140 pounds. Dangling Terrence Crawford.
But here's my point, is that don't push him to another weight class. Why does everybody want these guys to jump weight classes? Man, you got to fight where you're your best. You know, let him do something at 140, make some title offenses. Let him fill up a soccer stadium in England or Glasgow, Scotland or something like that. I mean, listen, it was good for him, good for the business that he won. And you know what I'm talking about as far as he's concerned, because, you know, Ramirez,
yes,
he can maybe fill up the Civic Center in San Antonio, but this guy can fill up a soccer stadium.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, brother. You're right. You know, it depends. I think it depends on the fighter. How much more does he want to stay in the game? That's number one. Number two, your manager and your promoter, you know, obviously the promoter has his best interest in at heart, which is to make the most money possible. And obviously, the biggest fight that can be made for Josh Taylor is either a Terrence Crawford fight, or if Teofimo Lopez wants to step up. You know, that's, those are the two biggest fights. But if Josh Taylor said, hey, I had a tough year and a half, let me make some money, defend one of these sanctioning bodies at home, and like you said, fill up a soccer arena, 50, 60,000 fans, it can happen.
Okay.
And real, he deserves a break.
Real quick, fighter's sons. Did you happen to see Fernando Vargas' kid's last opponent?
Did it happen? No, I didn't. I know, but which he's got two kids, right?
Oh, I don't know.
One is like 2-0?
I thought it was Fernando Vargas Jr. I thought, anyway, he fought a guy that was
Junior, yes. Uh-huh.
He fought a guy that was so bad, Cuddy's got four wins over him.
Not surprising, bro. Not surprising.
Hey, soccer
these, a lot of these opponents. Mm-hmm.
Boxing's PhD, of course. Hey, you going to take the kids out for pizza this week or what?
Yes, I will, thanks to Uncle Pedro. Absolutely.
No, that was from Uncle Scott. But
Chuck
I appreciate
E. Cheese,
that.
Here we come.
All right. Hey, all the best to you. Have a great weekend. Say hello to the family, and I thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, my brother. Happy Memorial Day to everybody.
Yeah. A little slight delay there in the Skype broadcast back and forth there. Of course, we go to a Skype here. That's the best way to have guests on the air. We have them on regular phones. Sometimes the phone drops. Everybody's on cell phones. Of course, not the old nightmare. It used to be with cell phones, but it still can be a nightmare. Skype rocks. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Having your own home.